It all starts with heart. Put it into everything you do and extraordinary things happen. 500,000 people are changing their lives every day with Anytime Fitness. That's 500,000 hearts beating as one. Join them. From cardio to strength, free weights to functional, all Anytime Fitness clubs contain the most up-to-date equipment that suits all fitness levels and any workout goal. With your Anytime Fitness membership, you have access to our clubs all over the world. Give your fitness fix 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, wherever you are. Anywhere, anytime. Here's a special offer. Mention this radio show and receive 50% off your joining fee and the rest of the month for free. So what are you waiting for? For more information or to join the Anytime movement, pop into the Geelong City, Highton, Leopold or Drysdale gyms or text the letters FNR and your name to 0477 225 518, and our membership consultant will get back to you. Anytime Fitness, looking after your health and fitness, anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Football Nation Radio. Good evening and a very warm welcome to you wherever you may be around this beautiful planet of ours. Welcome to episode 9 of the Geelong Region Soccer Show here on FNR Football Nation Radio. My name is Tonchi Prusak and I'll be with you for the next 60 minutes, and alongside me is one man who is very excited. It's my co-host, Andrew Shears, and we'll shortly say why you're so excited.
Extremely excited, very excited. It's good to be here too.
Absolutely. Fantastic. It's cold outside. It's wet. Oh,
it's warm, it's nice miserable. And warm in here. In fact, it's hot in here now.
It is. It is exactly right. Mate, we have got a phenomenal show tonight. I say it every week. We might as well just record me saying that.
Yes.
But indeed, tonight we've got a very Drysdale-themed show, as we can see by some of the paraphernalia around here. But before we do go on any further, we do need to say and acknowledge and thank our show sponsor for tonight, our episode sponsor for tonight, Anytime Fitness, and that's the Geelong City, the Highton, Leopold, and, of course, the Drysdale gym. Big shout-out to Rob Panetta, the owner there. They've jumped on board.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not possible to do these shows without fantastic sponsors like yourself. So. Yeah.
There will be, and if you look with the weather, the way it is, you know, training sessions are being cancelled left, right, and centre. And for those that don't play football, you know, it's easy to just pack on the kilos over the winter months. So stay tuned. We've got a very special offer for you to come and join the Anytime Fitness movement. But mate, we've got a huge show. Not only have we got obviously. Drysdale is our club focus. And who from Drysdale we're going to have? And please don't tell me it's the secretary of Drysdale.
Well, you're going to hear the secretary most of the night, but we've actually got the president as well. So president, secretary, the big two.
We tried to get him
two
in.
Two of the big.
Yeah, absolutely.
7 or 8 or 10 or
I'm almost a minority figure here, if not for the man saving my life tonight, and it is our esteemed panel operator, Josh Parrish. Josh, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, gents. It's no wonder you're a bit warm over there, Andrew.
He's got so much
cold weather gear on. It's all, you know, very much synergistic branding, but
very much so. You know, well, you know, you, my president always says, you know, got to wear the merch, and turn up the games in the merch. And I suppose I'm turning up for my game here.
Absolutely. We will be joined by Stephen Fleming a little later on. We tried to get him in the studio, but he couldn't come in because apparently he is a bit of a dance floor nut, so we're going to have that visual dance floor and watch you not happening. But after him, we've also got another huge guest, and they say it's the Seventh Force or a member of the Seventh Force, the media, and, you know, what would we do in Geelong without the Geelong Advertiser? And we've got the deputy sports editor, Ryan Reynolds himself, joining us.
What is he, a guy from the Addy?
The guy
from the Addy. You told me the guy from Deadpool was coming on.
Wrong Ryan Reynolds, sorry.
Oh, gosh.
Not the Hollywood star, but this
Lucky Drysdale of Feature Club, otherwise I'd be leaving.
Oh, this guy's even more of a star, Ryan Reynolds. You should see the photo that we put up on Geelong Region Soccer News.
I did, actually.
And luckily the man is taken, but, geez, you know, I tell you what, he's been getting marriage proposals left, right and centre, him with that soccer ball, that cup of Coke. And
Well, actually, since we started doing this show.
Cup of coffee, not Coke.
Mm. Since we started doing this show, do you know how many marriage proposals I've got?
Yeah, zero. That. Mm-hmm. Well, they say, Andrew, you do have a face for radio. Anyway, we will also, on that matter, we will also hopefully be going to the land of romance, speaking of romance, France. And we will have another correspondent joining us all the way from Le Paris. And that is Steve Curtin, whom we had a few weeks on here. And last week we had Ryan Horrocks. It just really, really went down well. And he did it really fantastic. He was so inspired by his appearance on the Geelong Region Soccer Show that he actually, whilst he was on the train, he penned this opinion piece, if you like. Mm. And it really, really went down well. So
Got some good comments throughout the throughout the city from that.
Yeah. Now, if you're on Facebook Live, make sure to leave a comment. Pose a question if you like, because, you know, you'll be able to ask questions of any of our guests or indeed any of us here. So do keep those comments or questions coming. And unfortunately, Santino Mamoni, no Jets cap on tonight for obvious reasons. And let's move on to our very, very first segment, the news desk.
The news desk.
Yes, so in news this week, big news coming out from out the countryside, out on the Golden Plains. They've appointed a new coach out there, Sean Howe.
I thought you were going to say that they won on the weekend, but both actually, yeah.
Well, both, yes, but yes, Sean Howe is the new coach out there.
Yeah,
hopefully
so
it goes well.
Unfortunately, Brad Owa had been, they've parted ways, Brad Owa and the Golden Plains. And that happened over the Queen's Birthday long weekend break. And Sean Howe, who was the assistant coach, and Sean is a very well-known figure around Geelong circles, having been a goalkeeper for the old Geelong Soccer Club when it was backed by the Irish community many, many years ago.
Also was a keeper at Geelong Rangers at one stage.
And Rangers as well, yeah. Mm. Yeah. And so
played on the field with him.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
So how old is he?
Well, he'd be 150.
I was going to say, okay, 100? No.
He'd be 50 plus now.
Is he? Okay.
I think he's older than I am.
Well, he's done something quite remarkably or whatever's happened, and usually we see this happen. A new coach comes and straight away the team wins, and that's exactly what happened on the weekend. So onwards and upwards for Golden Plains.
Now, also, we had a bit of a chat last week about the Matildas, and we were crying into our boots a bit. They'd lost their first game. But, hey, what did they do on Wednesday? They came out and smacked them.
They did. They did indeed.
Well, they got away with the win anyway.
But, well, win's a win, and that's important. You know, it was a magnificent comeback, no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. They got to play Jamaica tomorrow morning. We'll find out more from Steve Curtin in France. He'll tell us all about that, everything leading up to it, and he'll tell us all about what's the reaction been, you know, in France as well. And, it's been building up. Like, I read an article, was it today or yesterday, where there's some of the figures that they're talking about breaking records. The English women's team, when they played, they created a record number of viewers tuning in. The amount of people that are, you know, attending all the games, most of the stadiums are indeed sellouts, or if not sellouts, they're close to. Mm. So it augurs well. If Australia can get the 2023 World Cup, wouldn't that be brilliant?
Oh, absolutely fantastic. Mm. I think too, you know, those girls, I think they really took it to heart after the first loss and the bit of criticism they got from the media in Australia, because didn't Sam Kerr stick it to them when they won the next one?
Yeah, yeah. Suck it up. What was it? Was the famous motto? It's going to become quite famous.
Suck on that one.
Suck on that one. And brother Daniel was sculling this beer, and he had the T-shirt printed on with the quote. And pretty interesting. That's for sure. It was colourful. That's what we want. That's what we need. And speaking of colourful, What else is happening in the world of football locally?
Well, what else have we got here? We've got the Western United. Those fellas in Western United, they've been out and about all over the place. I saw them out at Grammar. I saw them up at Cadinia. And in the flesh, we actually had them down at Drysdale on Sunday as well. So.
Yeah, well, just tonight, coming here on the train, coming up to Melbourne, I was actually reading an article by the Herald Sun's David Davutovic. And the kit has been revealed.
Yes.
Green and black striped. Very unique point of difference. No doubt that will prove quite popular. The away one is very interesting.
Isn't it ever?
Yeah, it's kind of loosely modelled on Nigeria's World Cup one.
Right.
I don't like it.
I'm not quite sure, you know.
You just said a minute ago you like it. You like it or you don't like it. Make up your mind.
Well, I really like the home one. The away one, I'm a little bit
We're gonna have to go to the jury over here. Josh, what's your take on this away strip?
I like it. I didn't like it when I first saw it. I was like, oh, that's a bit out there. But now I've come around to it. I saw it when it was sort of leaked, and I wasn't sure if it was the home kit or the away kit. As an away kit, I don't mind a bit of something a bit garish, a bit different. And it also reminds me of the patterning on Fed Square, you know, the triangles, which is equally divisive as a design. So
I like them more traditional. I like them simple. It looks too spotty. It kind of reminds me of something out of the 1980s or whatever, you know. It's like that. Oh, I don't know. I just don't know.
80s retro is in now.
They are indeed saying that.
Yeah, actually, I can see Boy George wearing it.
You know, when I got married, my best man in front of everyone said to my wife, who was my wife-to-be, who was my wife then, he goes, whatever you do, don't dress your kid. Don't allow Tonchi to dress your kids because he's a fashion dag. Well, in that case, I guess then who am I to say whether that top is nice or not? What else is happening?
That's about all in the news at the moment.
A couple of things. I was out at Stead Park on the weekend and I saw the last 30 minutes of the Geelong-Werribee City game. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a good game. That was a really good game and Geelong had them. They almost had the league leaders. And I tell you what, as a result of that, I think they've actually dropped down to second spot in the NPL 2 division. But it means that North Geelong now are 2 points within striking distance as well. So the Geelong teams are doing very, very significant damage. Not significant damage, but they're playing a very significant role in the NPL too. So great to see.
I was at the Div 1 game between Drysdale and Leopold on the weekend, which was interesting because as some people know, I'm the secretary of Drysdale and my son plays for Leopold. And I've been actually asked on behalf of my son to issue an apology for the terrible trip that he did on the Drysdale player, which caused the penalty. Ben Shears is very apologetic.
That's Ben Shears' dad talking, not Ben Shears. Anyway, when we return, it's time for Club Focus and it's all about Andrew and his passion. We're not talking about his kids. We're talking about his preferred soccer club, Drysdale Soccer Club.
Club Focus.
Welcome back to the Geelong Region Soccer Show, and you are now listening to the Club Focus segment. And on the line is the president of our featured club for this week, Drysdale Soccer Club, Steve Fleming. Steve, how are you?
Tonchi, I'm well, mate. How are you?
I'm fantastic. And, mate, lots been happening down your neck of the woods, and we're going to talk a fair bit about that. But firstly, Steve, before we do, let's go get to know you a bit. You are an active player as well as the president of the club, which is always a hard thing to do, to juggle those two things. But what is your history in our great game, and what brought you to the Drysdale Soccer Club in the first case?
Look, I've got a proud footballing history of mediocrity. I've been pretty average for a very long time, and I was just reflecting, actually, it's most unfortunate. Most people who played as long as I have actually get quite good, and I haven't. I grew up playing soccer, started when I was very young, but back in my day, and you'd remember this, you had under-sixes, under-sevens playing on a half pitch. It was a very big pitch, and you didn't see the ball very often. I think I spent most of my time swinging off the goals at the back of the pitch. That was for the mighty Mwollumbah Rangers in country New South Wales, and I played there till I went off to uni. I stopped playing for about 10 years then, and my wife sort of gave me a kicking a while back and said, you need to get active again. So I did pick up a game in Melbourne. I played with Monash for a few years. I had the proud honour of playing in Monash's fifth team, their fifth men's team.
Out of how many teams?
Out of five.
Out of five.
and then I moved to Geelong with work, and I had a run with Barwon. I played with them for a couple of years, retired for the second time, feeling I was too old and sore. And then I got lured into play with Drysdale by Jeff Briggs and Craig Plummer about 7 or 8 years ago, and I've been there ever since.
Good old Jeff Briggs. What's Jeff doing these days?
Too much.
He was down there on the weekend. We saw old Jeff down there, down at Drysdale. Now, Steve, we know you're the president of the club. So what are some of the day-to-day, week-to-week activities of a president of a local club? Is it a busy role, or do you leave most of the hard work to the club secretary and the other committee?
The club secretary, I heard, does nothing down there. Is that true?
He's a fame shirker. Everybody knows that. I think one of the interesting aspects of the president's role is you really don't know what's going to come up from day to day, week to week, because the regular stuff, you've kind of got someone to sort out. So I generally find the stuff that pops up day to day for me is the stuff that doesn't actually belong to anyone else. Day to day, I mean, that's the beauty of any good club, is there's a whole army of people who just make things happen and get things done. And they're the ones who really take care of the day to day stuff. The club's gotten big enough now, there's no way anyone can be across all of it. Mm. So I tend to get involved when it doesn't actually fall into anyone else's lap or we're not quite sure what to do with it.
Mate, why did you take on the role of the president? Like, did you have a vision or a desire to change something or do something or just continue the good work that has been done over the last, say, 10 years? But what is your vision for the Drysdale Soccer Club? I guess both personally and collectively your committees.
I sort of fell into the role. I hadn't actually been on a committee before. I'd been involved in some of the subcommittees, but a couple of people had approached me over the years and I sort of went, no way, that's a massive job. We're not taking that on. But we sort of found ourselves about 6-12 months ago, recognising that our previous president, Tins, Rory Campbell, who put in a heroic stint, 4 or 5 years in the role, was stepping down and we didn't actually have a clear successor. And as I sort of talked to people and looked around, it was a bit of angst about it. We sort of thought, geez, what are we going to do here? And then I reflected on it a little bit and I thought about where I was professionally. And two of my key professional skills are leadership development and strategy. And I thought, there's a real opportunity to practice that in a really different arena here. There's something in this for me. But underneath that, probably more importantly, I really care about the club. It's become a home to me and my family. And I think of it as a big old extended family. And there's so much potential in it, and I couldn't resist, to be honest. Once the opportunity arose, I knew I had to get into it.
Now, you talk. You're the guest.
I was just going to talk to the vision question you asked.
Yeah, of course.
And I think what I sort of saw was a club that was in a space of transition, and it had some of the growing pains associated with that. Where my read would be that they were transitioning from what you might call a small family business model, where a couple of people kind of do everything, to a commercial scale entity where it's actually too big and you really need an organisation and a more professional approach. So my vision there personally was to try and support the club in that growth and help professionalise that leadership and also help us figure out who we are and what's really important to us. As I said, I think we're in a bit of a transition point, Drysdale, and we've got to take a look at ourselves and where we've come from and where we're going. And I really wanted to be part of that and make sure we did that really well and had a really clear vision of what our future is.
Mm. Tell us a bit more about Drysdale. We know you've recently celebrated your 10-year anniversary, in fact, just last Sunday. How was the club formed and what changes has it experienced over all those years, including a name change, I believe?
Yeah, well, the club started, our old mate Jeff Briggs we were talking about before, I think he's generally accepted as the guy behind it. He had some able helpers. A lot of your listeners probably know Everett Nelson, bit of a local football personality who's involved as well. Obviously 10 years ago, a bit more then, Jeff and some of his friends and local footballing tragics formed a small club. And it was, I think at that point, two men's teams when they first rolled out. Since then, it's grown and grown. We've added a small junior program, which has grown into a not-so-small junior program, just shy of 200 members in the junior space at the moment for us. And we've added a senior women's team. We even had a master's team for a while. And a couple of years ago, the greatest change, this is our second year now, we've actually got a home. So we've gone from a small team of a couple of mates, two teams, to a reasonably decent-sized community club.
Now, Steve, last weekend we had our celebration of 10 years. I keep saying we. It's most of the time I've got guests on here that aren't my club. But, we celebrated our 10 years of existence and the announcement of the team of the decade and a function down at the grounds. Tell us all about what you saw of the day.
There's some days when it really sort of moves me, I must admit, having the opportunity to be involved in something like this, and when you can really reflect on something that goes from something so small to something quite significant, between sort of 250, 300 members, depending on who you ask and when. And we can see days like Sunday when you really get to see it come to life. And one of the exciting things about Sunday, the symbolic aspect of that, and one of the reasons we chose that day to be our 10-year anniversary and our sponsors' day, was it was a day where our junior program played in the morning and it backed straight onto our senior men's immediately after that. This is the first year we've had under-14s teams in both boys and girls. And so we're now actually within sight of a complete life cycle as a club. And it's immensely exciting for us where our junior program has been small and growing, but we're actually not that far from a point where those juniors will come and play football with our seniors. Mm. And in fact, we celebrated, one of the awards we celebrated on the weekend was a very special award for Katie Hodge, the first player to actually transition from our junior program to play senior football. So for me, days like Sunday, that 10-year celebration day, we also were able to get a lot of older sort of alumni from the club who previously played for us. A lot of the members of the team of the decade were able to show up and be there. It's a chance to reflect and see how far we've come and what we've achieved and what a special group of people we've collected along the way that we think of as our club family.
Now, Drysdale is recognised in the Geelong community for having a really strong female involvement, both on and off the park. And what are some of the initiatives that have been undertaken to make Drysdale such a female-friendly club?
There are initiatives that we do run without a doubt. I think I'm sure a lot of your listeners will be familiar with the Soccer Mums program. Mm. Huge fan of that. It's another way to really encourage mums and females to get out and about. I guess most mums are females, to get actively involved in the sport and make those social connections. But I think rather than calling out specific initiatives, there's probably two things I'd call out, or three things. One being, my view at least, and I'm obviously biased, one of Drysdale's great strengths is the social aspect of the club and the way that we spend together as a group of friends and that pseudo-family. And one of the things we've done ever since the female team started, the girls' team a few years ago when they first kicked off, we've made sure that they felt part of that social network and part of that family. So there wasn't a bit of a divide. And I've played at other clubs where that is a thing, where you have the blokes are over there and the girls are over there and they don't really sort of connect. For us, ever since day one, it's been one big group of friends connecting around that. Second thing I would say, and it seems like such an obvious thing, but it requires constant vigilance, making sure we recognise that all our senior teams are equally important and we need to invest heavily in both, whether it's the men's or the women's, whether it's new match balls, whether it's the focuses of our technical resources, whether it's prioritising social events. We have to make sure we're always considering that every team is important, and whether it's men's, women's, juniors, seniors, they're all equally important. The final thing I would call out is the membership of our committee. We have a lot of fantastic female contributors on our committee, and I think that helps keep us balanced as well. The final thing I would observe, these stats are a little bit out of date. I expect it's more than this, but we quoted about just under 40% of our membership were female, but I think it's going to go up. I think if we were to check that today, it'd be higher than that.
Wow.
I'll check that when I get home, Steve.
Yeah, please do, Shizzy.
Now we're now in our second season down at Drysdale, down at the Drysdale Sporting Precinct. How do you feel once now that we've had the move down to there and we're out of Howard Glover Reserve? What sorts of things now do you think our club can provide the soccer community with the new surroundings?
It was such a great feel. It was almost euphoric, to be honest. And as I said, it's one of those things that still gets me every now and then. And you look out over the fields and the lights are on at night and it's just green. It's a little bit muddy at the moment, but normally it's just beautiful green. It feels like such a gift to be able to have that. When we came from not having much at all, I can remember when I first started, we rented one pitch off Surfside down the bottom of the hill. I think it's a footy pitch now. We had to roll our goals out every week and we didn't have a change room. There was a shed where they used to store their line marking equipment, and that was where one of the teams got changed. We were lucky enough to get access to Howard Glover for a long time, and that was really helpful for us. But there's only one side of the pitch had lights when we were there, so you couldn't really train very well. And the juniors were usually training in primary school halls and things. So the really basic stuff is we now can train. We can have our juniors training on grass rather than in whatever local primary school is kind enough to let us use their facilities. We can host night games, which significantly increases our capacity as a club for how many games we can run. We can host local events like the Absolute Soccer Clinics that are running during the school holidays. And we can even take overflow from other clubs. For example, the recent junior halves, we took overflow from Surfside and had a significant number of teams playing on our pitches. Soccer Mums is another example of something we can look after. And we're actually in our committee. I mean, there's so many cool things we'd like to do. We're actually talking about potentially hosting sevens next year. It's been a while since we had an off-season competition in the region. We used to have a bit of futsal running out of the Bellarine Aquatic Centre, but it's been a while since that happened. So that's the kind of things we'd like to do.
I know that
the one more thing to add there, sorry, we're actually in Drysdale. The club's been in existence for 10 years, but it wasn't until year 9 that we could actually say, you can come down the road and see us. We're only 2-3 minutes away. And we're talking to our sponsors and our partners. We're actually in our home.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Absolutely. I remember the years gone by where, you know, Drysdale was based in East Geelong, Howard Glover Reserve, and it just made things so difficult, particularly for the junior side. And speaking of the juniors, I know that the club is very proud of its junior program, which you just said, but several players also took part in the recent Victorian Country Championships from Drysdale. So but tell us a bit more about the junior environment of the club and what it hopes to provide to junior players in the region in years to come.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me just say how incredibly proud we are of our kids that are successful in being selected for those teams and for the whole region, to be honest, and the volunteers that support those programs. What an amazing day and what an amazing set of results. I'm incredibly proud of how well our kids went. The junior program for us at Drysdale is probably one of the single most important focuses for the committee. It's also quite a new space for us, and it's evolving year on year as you try to figure out what we do with these kids that keep getting older. If I was to talk about our junior program, the first objective that we start with is, again, a really obvious and really basic one. It's got to be a welcoming and safe environment for kids and parents, and that's got to be the foundation we start from. When we have that in place, and I think we do have that in place, we then work on the quality, and that's a big opportunity for us. We've had a lot of discussion around what that looks like. We're talking potentially about dedicating a role within our committee or a subcommittee to that next year to make sure our coaches are supported. The reality of community football is most of our junior coaches, the vast majority are parents who stepped up to try and help their kids and support the club. And the quality of the coaching you get then is, to be honest, it's potluck. There's never a question about the heart, the people who give their heart and soul into it, but they don't always have the technical expertise that you might want to see in your junior program. I actually feel we've been quite blessed, and I feel the Drysdale junior program has punched above its weight in terms of resourcing, in terms of the success we've had and the number of times our teams have made finals. But that's a tribute to the quality and the hard work those parents have put in. In future, we want to be looking at things like Absolute Soccer and other similar programs. We want to be looking at the local A-League clubs to see what we can do, to what partnerships we can leverage to increase the technical input into what is a welcoming and safe environment that our members and our kids really want to stay with.
Great stuff, mate. Great stuff.
Yeah. Now, Steve,
can I just add one last thing I should add to that?
Sure, mate.
The whole point of that is we've got under 14s this year. We need to get under 16s and we need to see them come into our senior space. That's really what we want. We want to see our kids wearing the same shirt. I want to see my son, who's 8, wearing the same shirt I'm wearing playing for Drysdale.
And let's hope he's got a little bit more skill than you have.
God, he must. He must, mate.
We love you, Daniel. Now, Steve, we've got to just about call it quits there. We've got to wrap it up a bit. But just thought I'd give you the last chance to drop anything else you want to say about the Drysdale Soccer Club and your involvement.
Oh, look, thanks, Shizzy. First of all, thanks to you guys for having me on. It's a real privilege to be able to get on and have a chat with you blokes. And it's a privilege to have a role like this where I can see, I've really got a line of sight on, as I mentioned before, the army of volunteers that make something like this work. And I've got to say, you know, this role and roles like it, committee roles, subcommittee roles, they're tiring. They're hard work. And you're doing it after work. But I've got to say, I'll tell you what, geez, it's rewarding. And it's so uplifting to see the results of what you do. So I would say I genuinely encourage anyone out there who's considered it, check into your local club and get involved. Not only are you going to make a difference to something bigger than yourself that improves the lives of your fellow committee members, you're going to get a sense of satisfaction and purpose out of it, second to none.
Fantastic. Thanks, mate. We really appreciate your time and wishing you all the very, very best collectively as a club and you as its head. We wish you all the best for the next 10 years and after that and after that. And Andrew wants to say one more thing because he always wants to have the last word when it comes to Drysdale.
Well, I just want to say I'll take off my presenter's hat here and put on my member's hat. But
he always does that.
Just want to say,
surprise, surprise.
I just want to say on behalf of all the members that thanks for the fantastic job you do, Steve. We all genuinely do love you, and it is one big family, and you're doing a fantastic job. So
hang on, he's been in the job for only 6 months. Say when he's been in the job for 2 years at least, all right? You've got another 18 months in the job at least, all right, Steve? So no finishing at the end of the year.
Nobody write that down, blokes, but thanks so much, guys. Thank you.
No worries, Steve.
And what you guys are doing. This program's great.
Good on you, mate. You're a legend. Thank you very much. Steve Fleming, the president of the – which club was that again?
Drysdale Soccer Club.
Tonight's episode of the Geelong Region Soccer Show is proudly brought to you by Anytime Fitness, the Geelong City, Highton, Leopold and Drysdale gyms. Train anywhere, anytime.
Welcome back to the Geelong Region Soccer Show here on FNR Football Nation Radio. And we were just listening to Stephen Fleming from Drysdale Soccer Club. Now I'm going to talk to you as a presenter, not as a club member. Isn't it great that we get this opportunity to talk to all these different clubs? And we've had different clubs now, Bell Park, Geelong, Barwon, Rangers. Now we've had Drysdale, all these different clubs. Next week, we've got one of the region's newest clubs, Armstrong United FC, and we're hoping to have Mick Parker, who is an old Drysdale alumni, coming into the studio. But all of these clubs are clubs that have actually donated to the podcast appeal.
They have,
and
yes,
they directly donated to all of us. So I appreciate every one of those clubs. And look, some of those other clubs that haven't been mentioned, well, they haven't been featured. Well, they will have an opportunity to get featured, hopefully, down the track. But we've got a massive announcement next week. It's going to be delivered by someone quite important. So we won't talk too much about that. But what we will say is, It is. It's a blessing. He talks about having a blessing where he's in that position where he's able to, I guess, oversee certain great things. And honestly, like, it's episode 9 now. Having an insight into all of these great clubs that make up our region is just gold, in my opinion. I don't know about you, mate.
Even for me, you know, it's opened my eyes to what other clubs are doing around the place. And it's just fantastic. I mean, we've got some fantastic people working in football in Geelong, and it's really great to hear from them all and hear what they're up to.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, on the line, we've got our next guest. Now, we don't have a little jingle because we're actually – it's a news segment, if you want to call it, in the media room, in the press box, because it's not the boardroom, it's not the club focus, it's none of that. It's something a little bit more. And, you know, this week's segment, we've got – we're going to bring in the big guns. They call it the seventh force, the media. And this guy's an absolute nut, a football nut. He's and when we say football, we are, of course, talking about the real football, the world game, the beautiful game. And he's someone who shares the exact same name as a Hollywood superstar. He is the deputy sports editor of the Geelong Advertiser. And no, folks, we are not talking about Star of Deadpool, but he indeed is his very own superhero. Ryan Reynolds, welcome to the Geelong Region Soccer Show. How are you, Ryan?
G'day, fellas. Thanks for having me on. Jeez, talk about a big pump up there. It's a lot of expectations.
Mate, you're going
to
deliver now. That's
the only pump up you needed. Yeah, the only pump up you needed was that promo photo doing the rounds on social media of you sitting on a couch with a coffee and a soccer ball, which announced your appearance tonight amidst, may I say, a lot of fanfare. And it's caused major disruptions to the social media channels. Can you tell us, where was that photo taken and what was the occasion?
Well, I thought I'd try to put it to the back of my memory. That's how long ago it was. I reckon that would have been a couple of World Cups ago. And there was first story about how I had basically two TV screens going at, you know, early hours of the morning just so I could catch up with all the games. So, that was what it was about. I thought that had disappeared into nothingness until you found it, and I don't even know how you managed to track it down. But
courtesy of your Facebook page. I admit, I was trolling Ryan Reynolds. There you go.
All right. Now, let's get down to a bit of serious stuff now. We'll talk a bit about the Addy. Now, the Addy's got a really long history of supporting the game locally, and it sponsored the Addy Cup for about 25 years. These days, we really feel the level of courage has increased quite significantly over recent years. especially since the Nick Wade took over as the editor about 3 years ago. How good is it being able to write about football in the Addy?
Yeah, it's sensational. And I think you can sort of really feel the passion of the people out there at all the different grounds when you go and have a chat to them, and you know just how much they love the sport and you know, the pleasure it brings them down there on a Saturday afternoon or a Friday night, or, you know, even the Sunday leagues and whatnot. So it's always great to be able to sort of tell those stories and highlight some of the amazing achievements. And I know there's probably a lot of them that fly under the radar that we never get to, but it's nice to tell the stories that we do.
And we often see stories by yourself as a, you know, a great football writer. I noticed any of the other stories that seem to go on the paper aren't much chopped, though. Is that, would you say that?
Oh, you know, there's a couple of contributors that might have to lift their game a little bit. I'm looking at one in a blue jumper at the moment that maybe might might have a bit of improvement.
Everyone's wearing a blue jumper here. Take your pick. Some blue.
I got black.
Navy blue.
And mine's got Drysdale on it.
Enough of that, gentlemen. Okay, look.
But we do have a good team of contributors in there. They all do an amazing job, so especially you, Tonchi.
Oh, well, shucks, thanks. But it is funny, though. Us football or soccer people, however you want to call it in Geelong, are difficult to please. We are never happy. And maybe that is a good thing because we're always striving to go that one better, I guess, collectively. But we often see the feedback that even though the quality of the coverage is great, the amount of coverage could be better. Is that a fair comment?
Oh, I think you can always look to improve on your coverage, that's for sure. And certainly it's always good to hear that sort of feedback. I think the thing that we've got to remember, though, is I reckon the soccer coverage in the last few years has sort of come a long way. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that it was, you know, JD writing, you know, 300, 400 words, and it was wrapping up all of the state league games plus some North Geelong as well, and now there's a double page sort of every Thursday, at least a page on a Friday, and then a double page on a Monday. And then we've also got the Australia First pre-season lift out that we've started to do now, featuring all the state league sides. So I reckon over the last few years we've made some pretty good improvements, but that's not to say that it's the perfect product yet, because we're always looking to include more teams, more people, more places, all that sort of stuff. So I mean, hopefully in the next few years we can keep on the upward trend and give the soccer as much coverage as we can.
So, I mean, from that, you're really telling us that there is a genuine thirst for having more soccer-related articles in the Addy. But also, what do you think the clubs could do and indeed the whole football community do to get more football, more soccer in the paper?
Yeah, communication's always the big one, I think, sort of talking from a journalist's point of view. I mean, obviously there's times when people contact you with a story or a little bit of a news tip to follow up, but sometimes we see clubs announce things on their Facebook and, you know, signings and departures and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, it'd always be nice if the clubs could give us a call and we can do something together, whether it's coming out and getting a photo and having a chat or whatnot, because I feel like, talking from a journalist perspective, once it's sort of out there, the news is sort of gone a little bit. So they sort of lose that hit in terms of getting their sponsors in the paper and that sort of thing. So, I mean, it's always nice if the clubs are, if they've got a story, even if they think it's big or small or whatever it is, just give us a buzz and we can work out what can happen to give them the best bang for their buck, really, and sort of give them a chance to promote themselves.
Yeah, I know personally just this year, for example, where you speak to a coach in the morning and by the afternoon or evening something dramatic's happened and you weren't even told about it, or a player's been signed or a player's left or the coach has parted ways, whatever. And it's kind of like, I just spoke to you a few hours before and you never told me. And then by the time we go to deadline, by the time the paper's published, it's all old news. And it's like, but that it's almost like correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, it's almost like a reactive kind of an environment as opposed to a proactive. So they react, and every time usually with criticism or something like that, but they're very, very slow to be proactive and send out a press release or send out a news tip or anything like that. And as you say, as a journalist, that can sometimes become very, very annoying because you know there's something cooking, but they're not telling you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always nice to, I mean, you know, newspapers and the news environment always live on exclusives and having been the first to break that news. So when you sort of think about whether it's worth, you know, putting it on a Facebook page, which might have, you know, 1,000 likes or 2,000 likes, or if you get it first in the paper, you know, in the readership's 30,000, yep. then you sort of got to weigh it up a little bit, don't you? Like, I mean, if I was a club, I'd know what I'd be doing. But it's always up to them, isn't it? It's their dues a little bit. So you're only as good as what people tell you anyway. Yeah.
Let's call a spade, let's be honest and say it how it is. We get sick of all the AFL coverage in the paper, both the actual AFL as well as the local leagues level, and there are, what, three local leagues? And we get it. The Cats are indeed the most highest-profile sporting institution in Geelong, and they do make the local economy tick. We get that. But what's the football community, i.e. the soccer community, that's what we're up against. So what do the footy guys, what do the Aussie rules guys, the clubs and the community in general do? Maybe that's different than what the soccer community does. We talked about the news tips and the lack of media, I guess, engagement. Is that the right word? What else do they do that we don't do?
I guess sometimes now, especially in this sort of digital age, we can really sort of keep a track on how well stories are doing, and it sort of allows us to prioritise in terms of, you know, what content people are interested in. And I think the greatest metric there is to talk about digital subscriptions and clicks on links and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, in this new age of digital journalism, the best way for soccer, you know, this isn't just in the Geelong region, but in general to get more coverage is to support the people that are reporting the news. And that's by getting a digital subscription or buying the newspaper and sort of showing your love for that sport, because even though people may not think those numbers mean anything, they are noticed by a lot of people and people that do make decisions, not just in Geelong, but all over the place. And, you know, if they can see an upward trend in people reading soccer stories, then that coverage is only going to increase, because at the end of the day, newspapers and media organisations are businesses and, you know, they like to make money themselves too. And if they're seeing somewhere that is, can make some money, then I'm sure they're going to target it. And, you know, I think we've been trying really hard to sort of increase that awareness online of our soccer reports and that sort of thing. Like if you jump on the Geelong Advertiser website now, there's a local soccer tab that you can click on, and it automatically feeds in every local soccer story we do now into that one sort of convenient place. So you don't even need to go trawling through our website anymore to find all that content. So, you know, we're trying to make it as easy as we can for everyone to sort of read what we write, but it'd be great if they could jump on board too and support through, yeah, subscriptions.
Now, Ryan, we know you're a real football man. We've all seen the photo and we've all heard you speak, but how else do you explain the fact that you're a long-suffering, yet you're passionate and committed, and I emphasise the word committed, supporter of English Premier League side Everton? Now, how long's that been going on, and why on goodness Everton?
Oh, geez. Talk about long suffering. I feel like when I come into work every day, there's one of our great sub editors who does all the layouts for the soccer page, Mark Bogan. He's a Manchester United supporter, and it feels like we're the two there banging our heads against the wall at the moment. But, yeah, my love affair with Everton goes back. It'd be a good almost 20 years now, I reckon. Actually stumbled upon it. It was a Leeds United Everton game, and I'm guessing it might have been, I'm trying to think of when Viduka was at Leeds. It must have been sort of 2000, 2001, something like that. But it was the opening game of the season, and Everton lost 2-0. And I've never been one to jump on a bandwagon of a team that wins. So they lost to Leeds, and I thought, oh, well, that'll do me. And the rest is history. So
there you go. Ryan, we invited the punters to send in their questions via social media. And one in particular, Ivan Deke from Bell Park, sent in a comment rather than a question saying, Everton was close to European glory this year, Goodison Park being less than a mile from Anfield. Comment? Or do you not want to comment?
Well, it's good to see that they've had some success at our old ground. You know, after all, if you go through the history books, Everton did call Anfield home all those years ago, but I was quick to remind Ivan on that post that, you know, maybe Liverpool did lose the league at Goodison Park this year, so we'll take that as a little win. It's in a long time between trophies, we'll take any little win, and that's good enough for me at the moment.
Yeah.
Now, Colin Phillip, our good friend from the Deakin Ducks, he has so many questions. Say the first thing that pops into your mind. Why can't you sit up properly?
That's me being disappointed at Everton all the time. It's messed up my posture.
And what about your coffee cup? Why do you hold it like that?
Now, that's definitely because a photographer told me to hold it like that. I don't have some sort of weird claw. I don't have some sort of weird claw hand, I can assure you.
I normally hold it like a normal. Is that a superhero person feature, Deadpool?
It was to show off my guns, let's be honest.
Why is the ball flat?
No idea. It's probably sitting under my desk for a couple of years.
And finally,
yes. And why is Colin Phillip taking the mickey out of you?
Because he's also a long-suffering Everton fan. So
that explains a lot of things, Colin Phillip. That explains a lot of things. Okay, look, we'll finish with some serious topics. We've got Josip Zilic, who's very, very well-known around the Geelong football circles. He's just emailed through a very, very good question. Covering football for numerous years now, comparing it to when you started at the Addy to current day, what are the significant differences you've noticed in that time with our clubs in Geelong?
Oh, with the clubs in Geelong?
Mm.
Well, I reckon I think that the best thing about the clubs is that they've been a lot more professional to deal with. I think, you know, sort of previously it seemed like there was lots of different points of contacts for different things and you can sort of get caught in a merry-go-round a little bit. And I think now clubs have sort of become really organised where you know exactly who to call with to deal with media inquiries, whether that's off the field or on the field, or if you need to organise a photo or all that sort of thing. I think the clubs are a little bit more open to talking now and highlighting stories and different things. Like if I'm talking to a coach during the week, I might ask them who, you know, if there's a player we should be talking about or whatever. And I think previously they were a little bit, I don't know whether they wanted to hide the players away a little bit and not sort of give them that exposure or not. But I certainly think that the clubs are a bit more forward in talking about their players now.
Yeah, I can vouch for that as well. Josip Zilic has another question. Do you have dialogue with other sports journalists from newspapers with similar circulation to the Addy, or maybe say the News Limited family? And what is their coverage and general perception of football in comparison to the Geelong region, or maybe the Geelong Advertiser, I guess?
Yeah, well, without sort of wanting to pump up tyres, I don't think there's any sort of regional paper in the country that would do soccer as good as we do. You know, a lot of weekends have sort of got three photographers going out to games around the region. You know, we cover all the NPL sides every week, plus, you know, the match of the round from the state leagues, including the women, the Lara women as well. So I think from that perspective, I don't think anyone else does it. We've sort of had some journos come through our doors over the years that have worked at other papers and certainly their coverage sort of only extended from their national Premier League level sort of sides and state league sort of didn't get much of a mention. So, yeah, it's interesting to see how different papers cover different things. Without wanting to pump up our tyres, I think the Geelong clubs have got it pretty good in terms of coverage. But as I said, we're always trying to do more. And, yeah, we don't want anyone else to pass us in terms of the good coverage stakes.
Sure. Now, I've only got a little bit of time left, though, Ryan, but the Addy was heavily involved in the competition to select a name for the new A-League club, Western United.
Yeah.
With United playing their games out of Geelong's iconic GMHBA stadium over the next two or maybe 3 years, do you envision that the Addy will be providing a lot more coverage to the new club over the coming months and subsequently increased level of coverage of football in the newspaper?
Oh, absolutely. I think given that they're going to be playing on our doorstep, we're duty bound to be covering them pretty significantly, especially with the sort of extra connections there throughout the club. Obviously started as a Western Victoria bid, and I think, you know, sort of early days it was sort of heavily linked to the Geelong area. Obviously it's a shame that they're not going to be permanently based out of GMHBA Stadium or have their own stadium somewhere in the region. But, you know, 2 years of A-League football out of Cadinia Park's pretty good. And, you know, I think, you know, myself or one of the journos will be down there all home games, sort of giving them some good coverage. And, you know, as we lead into the A-League season, I'm pretty sure that they'll be featuring pretty heavily in our pages, that's for sure.
Mate, we do need to wrap it up. But a huge thank you for joining us tonight on the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Radio. Are there any last words you'd like to say to the people out there in Geelong Addy Reader Land and the football community in general?
Oh, just to keep supporting us and to, as I mentioned before, you know, make sure you grab a digital subscription or buy the paper. And you know, send us through your news tips if you got them. Doesn't matter how big or small they are. We always love to hear from people who are reading the paper and, you know, and think they've got a good story. So, yeah, that's pretty much my message. Just keep on supporting us and we'll be really keen to support you guys. And also for you, Tonchi, keep up the good work with the contributing and the podcast and the radio show and everything else. It's amazing to see just the coverage that, you know, soccer in the region's getting, and it's great to see all the clubs featured. It's really enjoyable.
I do apologise in advance to people that I call at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night because I don't have a life. I've got small kids. So, you know, that's when I end up doing most of the articles. So it's sometimes awkward calling people really, really late knowing that they're probably having a night on the Terps or whatever. But, yeah, as you said before, the clubs are really, really approachable. So I do appreciate that. As we do appreciate having you, Ryan, on the show. So once again, thank you very much. We look forward to having you on again in the not too distant future.
Looking forward to it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan Reynolds, the deputy sports editor of the Geelong Advertiser.
He's a nice fella, isn't he?
He's a great bloke. He's a ripping bloke. And look, he didn't want to say too much, but I know the real reason why we've got the soccer coverage, you know, increased in recent years. It is Ryan's doing. It is a lot to do with him. So he's a great bloke, and he often is seen around the football clubs and circles and what your knots. Mate, we're going to take a little we're going to get our passports ready. We're going to go to visit France very, very shortly. We're going to try and get a hold of Steve Curtin, but we're going to have a bit of a break. And then when he gets back, we will have a very, very quick word, and then we're going to have to wrap it up before the new show, Football Out West, starts tonight, looking at the western suburbs of Melbourne. And by all means, you're more than welcome to stay on, and you'll be hearing my voice as I'll be co-hosting that with Craig Filer as well.
Tonight's episode of the Geelong Region Soccer Show is proudly brought to you by Anytime Fitness, the Geelong City, Highton, Leopold and Drysdale gyms. Train anywhere, anytime.
Welcome back to the Geelong Region Soccer Show, and we are about to wind up. We've had it go overtime yet again, but we'll blame it on the Avondale, the Avengers. They always start late, don't they?
That's right, yeah.
You sometimes think that there may be a South Australian club operating on everything half an hour later. I don't know. Josh, you're part of that. Well, tell them to, you know, pull the finger out. They need to, you know, right on 8 o'clock.
I think it might be just as much to do with the intense studio dressing and setup that we've got going for this show now. Fiddling with mannequins.
It does look fantastic.
No, yeah. It looks sensational.
Yeah, it does look fantastic, yeah. We on the line have got Steve Curtin all the way from Vive la France. French accent that I could do.
That is awful.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, let's bring Steve on. Steve, are you there?
Bonjour, Tonchi, Andrew and Josh. How are we doing, guys?
It's a very authentic French greeting. How are you?
Thanks, Steve. Good to hear from you.
Mate, it's all happening
going
over
going well here, and hello to everyone back home.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you, Steve. Tell us, what was it like leading up to the Matildas Brazil game and, you know, afterwards? Like, must have been amazing to be there and to witness all that.
Yeah, I think leading into the game, as Aussie fans and having been to see the Socceroos not perform as we'd hoped in previous Men's World Cups, it was a very nerve-wracking period of time leading into the ground. We were travelling there by car from Avignon. I think no one was speaking. I think it was dead silence for a large part of the trip. And then obviously the game, we started the game quite well. We stayed a little bit too static up front, and then all of a sudden we were 2-0 down, which we thought was a bit unlucky, and we were feeling quite deflated. And then next thing you know, we turned it around, and the tension on the face of seven of us, the group of family and friends watching the game, was quite palpable, especially my American sister-in-law, who was wearing the green and gold. And then to come over Brazil and win 3-2 was just absolutely exhilarating and a highlight of our trip so far.
Fantastic. And it's now, you know, tomorrow, 5 o'clock our time. Over here, it's now, 9 o'clock in the evening. So what's that, 8 hours time? It's the big game against Jamaica. Now, obviously, the combinations are that if Brazil defeats Italy, we're all going to be on 6 points, and it's then going to come down to goal difference and games against each other and all of that kind of stuff.
France.
Yeah. What are the Brazilians saying? Do they fancy their chances? Are the Italians really, really in good form?
I'm not too sure, actually. I think those two teams are quite evenly matched. We haven't seen a lot of Brazilian fans getting about here in France, unfortunately. So apart from at the match, we were outnumbering them, I think. Mm. And I'm not too sure how confident they will be. But I think, if we can hope for a 2-0 win for Brazil and then score heavily ourselves and have a good performance in an attacking sense, we'll be looking quite good for top of the group, and then that will make our draw a lot easier and avoid any difficult sudden death games.
And if your sister-in-law is actually going to this game with you, please make sure she doesn't over-celebrate if we score a lot of goals. We've heard those Americans have got a habit of doing that.
Yeah, well, we actually got to witness the US girls defeat Chile 3-0 on Sunday here in, I've just arrived in Strasbourg now, but we witnessed that match in Paris, and it was 45,000 people there at the stadium at the Parc des Princes. It's a great stadium to watch football from. I haven't been there before, but the concrete roofs are right over your head, and it keeps the sound in, and the sound system was fantastic. Their spectators' march to the match was amazing. So many supporters there, 45,000, and a lot of the fans with their signs and things, asking for a fair go or a bit of equality for some of their players.
Mm-hmm. Ah, the Americans, always involved in some sort of politics, aren't they? But have there been a lot of Australian supporters that you've seen, like, you know, just not at the stadium, of course, but, you know, just generally out and about? And I know I was at the 2006 World Cup in Germany, and the one experience that I remember was, like, you see an Australian, you know, anywhere on the streets, and there's this immediate connection, this immediate sense of camaraderie. It didn't matter where you were, what you were. Are you experiencing that in France at the moment?
Certainly not as prevalent as the men's World Cups I've attended. In Montpellier last Thursday night, it was a fantastic camaraderie between the fans. The merchandise was selling out. There was heaps of green and gold walking into the stadium on the trams from the city centre of Montpellier. And it was really good to get everyone together. And the national anthem was belted out with much pride from the supporters on our wing, which you would have seen us on the opposite side to the cameras during that match.
Awesome. Mate, we're going to have to leave it there. We've gone a little bit over time as it is. Steve, thank you very, very much for joining us. We hope to maybe even touch base with you next week if time permits. But all the best. Enjoy yourself. And how much longer are you in France for? Till the end of the World Cup or just another few more days or weeks?
Yeah, we've got until the end of the week in France, then we're off to Germany and Switzerland. So, we'll be enjoying the World Cup and we'll be back home. And hopefully when I'm home, the Matildas are still going through the tournament. And also, thanks to Anytime Fitness for sponsoring the show tonight. They're good enough to let you suspend your membership if you're going to the World Cup. So that's quite a good feature. So I look forward to getting back in there when I return home.
There we go. Good on you. Good stuff. Good on you, mate.
And in the meantime, go Matildas.
All the way from France. Vive la France. Merci beaucoup. I think that's how you say thank you very much. Okay, gents, we are out of time and we got to go. And it has been an absolute pleasure. Episode 9. Next week is our final episode of the current season. But let's just say, hint, hint, we've got a big, big announcement next week that may extend the season a little bit, and that's all we're going to say, isn't that right?
Exactly right, yes.
Good work.
Okay. I'm sworn to secrecy at this stage.
Next week, a club feature, club focus is Armstrong United FC, and like I said, a very, very, very big announcement coming next week.
You can dress as a pelican.
Yes, I can. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. And for those that are going to listen in on the podcast, well, thank you very much as well for joining us on the podcast. You've been listening to the Geelong Region Soccer Show on FNR Football Nation Radio.